I'm excited to be with you today. It's an honor to be able to talk to you for a few moments about a scripture that has really been speaking to me. And I said this to the first service. It's been kind of an emotional 24 hours for my family and I. And nearly, well, yesterday I did say to my wife, Emma, in the front row, raise your hand, Emma. Here's my awesome wife. I said, I don't know, you know, should I go through with preaching today? And she said, no, you need to give this word. You need to give this message. And so first service was pretty emotional for me. I don't feel like I've got much right now. So I want to ask the Holy Spirit to come and fill me up and speak to us, okay? So let's just seek the Lord. Now let's just lift our hands to heaven. Jesus, we just ask that you'd speak to us. God, open every heart here so wide to receive exactly what you want to say to them. God, you know where every heart is. You know what's going on in everybody's life right now. You know exactly where they are with you. And I pray you'd speak to them in a mighty way right now, Lord. I pray you'd overwhelm us with your love, that your love, the greatness of your love would just come and flood our souls, that it would be undeniable. Jesus, give us a revelation of you today. Help us to see you as you really are, Jesus. If there are any ideas of you today that aren't accurate, that you'd strip those. God, give me the words. Give me the words for this people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, I want to ask you guys a question to kind of frame this. And I just want you to think about this question for the rest of this time together today. Has the Lord been fair to you? Has the Lord been fair to you? I just want you to think about that. Has the Lord been fair to you? And I don't know what you've gone through in this life. I don't know what your trials and tribulations have been, your setbacks, hard heartbreaks, but I want you to think about that for a moment. And today, you know, we're going to talk about a topic that is, it's so relevant to everyone here. And to paint the context, Jesus was with his disciples on a Tuesday, and he's walking through the Temple of Solomon, and he says, this thing is gonna collapse. This thing is gonna totally be destroyed. And that was a prophecy that happened about 70 years later. But his disciples say, Jesus, when? When is this going to happen? When is the kingdom of God gonna come? And they were sort of, you know, expecting that Jesus was going to like have angels from glory come down in chariots of fire and set up shop and become basically like, you know, a heaven on earth reign right then and there and free them from Roman rule and all of that. But Jesus then responds to their question with five parables, none of which answer the question when, all of which address the question of how. How we're supposed to get ready for his return. My friends, are you excited for Jesus' return? Come on. Listen, the king is going to return. He's going to wipe every tear from our eyes. He's going to make every wrong right. He's going to reign forever, and we're going to reign with him. But he wants us to be ready for his return. So the title of my message today is Make Your Life Count for the Master. And I want this to be a little bit interactive, okay? So here's how it's gonna work. When I say, don't bury your talent, and point to you, I want you to say, make it count for the Master. Can you guys try that with me? Okay. Don't bury your talent, but make your life count for the master. So Matthew 25, verse 14, the parable of the talents, a familiar passage, but a profound one. Verse 14, for it is just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on a journey. Immediately, the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more, but he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. The first point today, my friends, is making your life count means going on the master's mission. Going on the master's mission. If you want to live a life worthy of the Lord, we got to go on the master's mission. And so this is what it's like. This is what the coming of the king is going to be like. This is what that final day is going to be like. It's like some man going on a journey, and he calls his servants to himself, and he gives them talents. 1 5, 1 2, another 1. He's helping them to understand, even though they don't know, this is spoken on a Tuesday before Good Friday. The cross is 3 days away. They don't know Jesus is leaving. They think the angels are coming and he's going to set up a theocracy, but that's not the case. Jesus is about to go on a journey. And so his response to his disciples are 5 parables preparing them for his return. And he says it's like a man that goes on a journey and he distributes his net worth, because a talent is not something you're really good at in this context. It's a lot of money. It's a prodigious amount of money. How much money? No one exactly knows, but probably like 20 years worth of wages. The average person spends like $330,000 to $3.2 million in their lifetime, depending on where you are in the world. So for easy math, we'll call a talent like $1 million. So he gives one $5 million, gives one $2 million, gives one $1 million. And it's not said explicitly here, but in the parallel account in Luke, Jesus says, go and do business. Go and do business. Here's a lot of money, but there's a catch. It's not yours, it's mine, and I want you to go and do my business. Amen. So, Charles Spurgeon said it this way. What is a talent? A talent is anything and everything that you have as a steward of God to advance his kingdom. That's what a talent is. It's your lot in life. Now, don't bury your talent, but... Ooh, that was better than the first service the first time. Good job. Make your life count for the master. So, 2 of the servants, they take the talent and they immediately set off. They make haste. They don't vacillate. They don't sit there like just in awe. They just go to work. They understood their master's mandate, and they go to work. And they multiply it. The one that has 5 makes 5 more. The one that has 2 makes 2 more. And then the other guy goes the other direction, you know, and he says, wow, this is a lot of money, $1 million. Better keep it safe. Sure wouldn't want anyone to steal it. Master probably wouldn't be happy about that, but candidly, I don't really want to do the master's work. Hey, there's a shovel. I'm going to bury it. So he grabs a shovel, digs a hole, puts the talent in the ground, and gets back to his life. What's interesting is the Greek words used here for go are different. The first 2 talents, it says they went. The Greek word is to go with intent, to go with purpose, to go on mission. If you want your life to count, you got to go on the master's mission, and that's what they did. The Greek word used for the other guy that took and hid his talent actually means to depart. He acquiesced his master's business. He didn't want to touch his master's business. He wanted to keep his stewardship safe. But he didn't want to do the mission of the master. Now, Let's look at the difference here between, we'll call them the multiplier and the maintainer, okay? The multiplier had a sense of urgency. Everyone say urgency. Urgency, because the time is short. They knew he was gone and on a mission. He was going on a mission, but they didn't know when the master was returning. He's going to come like a thief in the night. We don't know when he's coming, but he's going to surprise some people. But these guys were like, no, we're going to get right to it. They had a sense of urgency. They went on their master's mission immediately. Everyone say immediately. And they increased what they had been given faithfully. Hallelujah. But the maintainer had no sense of urgency. Oh, we got time. Master's kind of slow. He takes his leisurely time anyway. What's the rush? Maybe we'll get to the talent one day. But I got other things I got to do right now. He departed from the master's mission quickly, and he managed what he had been given complacently. Not faithfully, complacently. So I'm going to set this up, guys, because this first point is kind of the meat and the potatoes of the message. And then the next two points are going to go quickly. And then we're going to let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do today. But the multiplier had a mind to work. Was it easy to double the master's resources? Probably not. But he had a mind to work, to risk, to persevere, to see it through. And his entrustment was according to his ability, not beyond. The maintainer had no interest in work besides the minimal amount of work and digging a hole. My friends, how hard is it to dig a hole? He didn't want to think about it. He didn't want to work for it. He really, truly wanted nothing to do with his entrustment in the master's business. What the others saw as a blessing, he saw as a burden. Do you see your lot in life today as a blessing or a burden? Remember, these were humble servants. They probably didn't have a lot of money. And now out of nowhere, they get this lump sum. This is an auspicious moment, to say the least. This is a game changer. For the first time in their life, they had this massive entrustment. This is analogous. This is just like when we get saved and we receive the gospel and the Lord entrusts us with the gospel. It's the most sacred thing. It's the most precious thing. And we go from rags to riches when we believe in Jesus. How many of you would say amen? You might not think you have a lot of money. You might not think you're very talented. But if you got the gospel, you got everything worth value in this life and the life to come. Come on. Let's give that up to Jesus. We've been given a lot, my friends. And let me just say this quickly, because sometimes we envy another person's lot. Oh, they got more than me. They're more intelligent. They're more gifted, blah, 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 whatever. They've got more money. But this is, God has given each one of us exactly what we have according to our ability. You have neither too much nor too little. You have exactly what God means for you to have today, and you must prove faithful, and I must prove faithful with what he's given us. Amen. So can we just put to death, can we just die to this sense of envying what someone else has? To whom much is given, much is required. It's not theirs. They gotta give it back to the master and prove faithful with it. Conversely, sometimes we look at someone else's lot and we're like, wow, they have it easier than me. Wow, their life is simple. They didn't grow up this way. They didn't grow up that way. Man, I wish my life was simpler. I wish I didn't have to focus on so many things, you know? Wish I could be a farmer and milk cows all day. No offense to any farmer here. That's just where my urban mind goes. But you say, but, you know, what is the master's mission? Because in our day and age, there's a lot of gospels out there. But there's only one true gospel, but there's been distortions of gospels that make it about us and just being prosperous and self-help. And listen, I'm all for God will bless you. He will prosper you. But the gospel is not that. The gospel is that Jesus came, that he died on a cross for our sins, that he rose from the grave, and that everyone who believes in him can be forgiven and have eternal life. That's the gospel. So the mission of the master is very simple. It's to preach the gospel and make disciples, to preach the gospel and make disciples is the master's mission. That's why you're still here. Amen. That's the one thing we can't do in heaven. We don't need to. We're with the master at that point. And you would say, well, I don't feel equipped to preach the gospel. I don't know how to preach the gospel. My friends, if you've received the gospel, you're equipped. The message is so simple, even a child can understand. My daughter, Penelope, in the front row there, raise your hand, sweetie, so everyone can see. She goes out, and she scoots around the block, rides her bike around the block, and comes home and tells us who she led to the Lord. If Penelope can do it, how many of you know you can do it too? We all can do it, right? Listen, we just got to open our mouth. You just got to open our mouth. Let the Holy Spirit do the talking. You just got to be available. That's all that he asks for. And then what do we do when they receive the Lord? We teach them to obey everything that he's commanded us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. That's the mission. And you're like, well, should I quit my job and get in the ministry? Maybe. But that's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying take your opportunity at your job to tell someone about Jesus. When's the last time you told a coworker about the Lord? Or your neighbor when they're outside? Or the clerk? Or whoever? You know, we just got to, wherever we are, wherever you find yourself today, whatever your job is today, whether you're single or married, it doesn't matter. Just share the good news. Amen. Share the good news. So, if we want to make our life count, we got to go on the master's mission. Secondly, making your life count means affirmation, abundance, and joy. I was taught in sales that you have to tell people what's in it for them. This is what's in it for you. This is what's in it for me. Look, those three things are a man's three greatest needs. Acceptance, significance, and belonging, right there. Affirmation is acceptance. Abundance is significance, and joy is belonging. When we do the master's mission, when we carry out his business, he rewards us with what our souls need the most. Affirmation. So let's look at this. Verse 19, now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See? I've gained 5 more. And his master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I've gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You are faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. The one with 5? Here's the same affirmation as does the one with 2. Listen, you don't have to be Billy Graham to hear well done. You might think that you're a nobody. You might think you're forgotten. You might be the single mom. No one sees. You might feel like you're hidden, just whatever. But I'm telling you, all you have to do is be faithful with what he's given you. Go on the master's mission. Hallelujah. Could you imagine? Could you imagine one day looking Jesus in the eyes and having Jesus say, well done, that good and faithful servant. Wow. Is there anything better that we can hear? It's like saying, it was all worth it. You spent your life in a noble way. You lived for me. You lived for the gospel. You didn't live for yourself. You were on my mission. You made your life count. And now I'm saying, well done, that good and faithful servant. It's the best thing we could ever hear. You know, when I was in high school, before I knew Jesus, I had this insatiable appetite to be liked and to fit in and to be popular and just to feel like people liked me and accepted me. But when I came to Jesus, all of that just died because I experienced this waterfall of the love of God, and it just freed my soul. And I was just like, yes, Lord, this is what I've needed my whole life. I've needed your love. I've needed your affirmation. And now I'm free. I don't have to try to please people anymore. Amen. And my friends, when we come to Jesus, that's yours. You're a child of God immediately. You're a son. You're a daughter. He welcomes you into the fold. Your account is forgiven. You are accepted. Amen. But there's a secondary tier to this when we stand before him, and it's the affirmation that comes from being faithful with what he's given us. How many of you guys want to experience that one day? So we trade our talents, he gives us affirmation. Secondly, abundance. So listen, he says, you were faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge of many things. Wait, time out. A few things? Remember, he gave him talents. He gave him millions. A few things? Lord, that was a lot. Yes, my son. Yes, my daughter. But what I'm about to give you is so much more exponentially great that it's going to make that seem like a small thing. The glories, the weight of the eternal rewards in heaven that last forever, that can never perish, spoil, or fade, those are going to be so much more weighty, so much more glorious, that you are just going to be amazed beyond what you could ask or think. As Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, or conceive what God has prepared for those who love him. We don't even know what it's going to be, but in the parallel account in Luke, it says he gives them cities. He trades them cities for talents. It's like they're taking millions and turning it into billions or trillions. God is so generous, you just trade your talent, you make your life count, and God is going to reward you in spades. God is so good. God is a God of abundance. He'll multiply what you have. And that's the life to come. But even right now, my friends, when you're faithful right now, my friends, God will add to your lot. I'm just looking at my brother, Lauren LaLuce, and what God has done with him and the ways God's just opened door after door for ministry opportunity after ministry opportunity with Streetlights and beyond, doing so many things for God. I was thinking about Pastor Toledo. They just got back from Africa, training 1,000 pastors. If every pastor had like a parish of 100, that's like 10,000 people that he's influencing, right? Indirectly. But like, how do, and Chrissy's having all these open doors in different places in Europe, but like, how does that happen? It happens because you just start focusing on daily faithfulness. Amen. One step at a time. If God did it for them, he'll do it for you. He'll do it for me. Amen. Come on. Right. Let's not envy another lot. Let's just focus on being faithful we have, and God will bring the increase. Amen. He promises abundance. And then finally, it's joy. Making your life count means joy. When you live for the master's mission, it gives you joy. He says, enter into the joy of your master. Now, close your eyes for a second and just imagine this. Imagine on the day of judgment, Jesus standing, smiling, laughing even. His arms are open. He gives you a hug and he says, you've been faithful. Enter into my joy. And he takes you by the hand and he leads you to this glorious banquet hall, and there is a royal feast set out. And there's music and there's celebration. And it's purely just the celebration. He says, this celebration is for you. Yes, it's for me and what I've done. And we're going to, but I'm honoring you. I'm celebrating. Enter into my joy because you are faithful. You made your life count for the master. Now enter into my joy. All of the blood, sweat, and tears are past. All of the heartbreak, all of the heartache, and now we can forever enter into the joy of our master. My friends, don't bury your talent, but make it count for the master. You can open your eyes. Before we go to the final point here, if you're here today and, you know, I don't know where you are today, but maybe you feel joyless. You feel empty, or you feel depressed. You feel just kind of hollow. You ever been there? I want to challenge you. If you want to enter into the joy of the master, get on his mission. Amen. Joy is found in the mission. Joy is found in the making of disciples, of preaching the gospel. When you do his work, he's going to trade you joy. Yes, in the life to come, but right now, that's the recipe. It's not life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. That don't work, my friends. It's not working in our nation right now too well. But Jesus will trade you joy when you sell out yourself to him and get busy about his business. If we could get a keyboardist to come. I want to wrap this up and then let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit wants to do among us. Amen. So finally, making your life count means knowing the Master's character. And the one who had received the one talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and I went away and hid your talent in the ground." See? Have what is yours. But his master answered him, said, "You wicked, lazy servant, you knew I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank. And on my arrival, I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But to the one who does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him." So my friends, the one who has the one talent, the one who hides it, the one who has no interest in the master's business, on the day of reckoning says, here you go. You can have it back. I kept it safe. I didn't lose it. I didn't spend it on myself. I just kept it safe. So here you go. Because I knew you were a harsh man. I knew you were a harsh man. And what's interesting here is that in the Greek, he says, "I knew." The Greek word is oida. I knew intellectually. I knew as a matter of fact. I knew here in my head that you were a harsh man, that you were not a fair man, that you weren't fair. And the master says, "You knew me?" Different Greek word, gnosko. Means to know by experience. It means to know by relationship. It means to know in your heart. And it was like he was saying, "You thought you knew me, but you only knew me in your head. You never actually knew me with your heart. Because if you knew me with your heart, you would have sold out your life. You would have spent everything on me because I'm a good, generous master who wants to bless you and reward you and keep you." And so he takes his talent and he gives it to the one who already has 10. And says, "Whoever has, more will be given. But to he who doesn't have, even what he thinks he has will be stripped and taken away." What that slave didn't have, my friends, was a right perspective on who God is. Look at this quote by A.W. Tozer. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. When I was preparing this sermon, I didn't know what to use for the final illustration until yesterday. It's not the illustration I want to give you, but I got permission to share this. About 10 or 12 years ago, I don't know the exact dates and numbers, my cousin and her husband, they started a house church in Iowa, in a small town in Iowa, and the church took off. I mean, I think they had 150, 200 people coming. They started in a living room, but then, you know, it just took off. And they were ministering to drug addicts. They were ministering to prostitutes. I mean, God was doing a lot. But somewhere in that, My cousin's husband hurt his back, and they prescribed some medication, and he got hooked. And that snowballed, and eventually, they lost the church. They nearly lost their marriage, and they had a son, Camden. Camden, he received Jesus. He was like a musician and very gifted guy, and but Camden started to lose his faith. Around this time, I kind of entered into his life, and because we're out of state, I didn't see him face to face a whole lot, but we stayed connected via text and phone calls and voice texts, etc. And I kind of watched this internal battle and wrestling. And Camden just started to wrestle with if God's really fair. And he would say things like, I just don't understand why God would let all this happen to my family. I don't understand why he would let my dad get addicted to drugs. And then he eventually started to experiment. And then Camden started to get into an addictive cycle. And he didn't understand why God allowed him to get addicted himself. And he just, I would talk with him, but he kept on talking about how unfair God was to let these things happen. And listen, I don't know your story, but maybe you've been through some things, some heinous things. Maybe you have a wayward spouse and you just don't understand why God would let that happen. Maybe you suffered extreme financial loss. Maybe you suffered the loss of a loved one and you just don't understand why God would let that happen. And you're wrestling with, is God really fair? What comes to our mind when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Because you can't serve the master unless you believe he's fair and good and he's going to reward you. You know, who takes up some politician's cause when they don't believe in the politician? Nobody. You're not going to follow and do the business of somebody, some leader you don't believe in. It doesn't work that way. The final text I got from Camden about a month and a half ago. He said, one of my favorite quotes is, if the apple is so bad, why does it taste so sweet? It's been so hard to put away the things of the world. And he was in this place where he had had too much of the world to enjoy Jesus, but he knew too much about Jesus to enjoy the world, and he was just stuck. And I kept pleading with him. I kept pleading with him, and I said, listen, you gotta, it's the devil, man. It's the flesh. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's not what God does. God comes to restore. God comes to forgive. God comes to turn beauty into ashes, beauty from ashes. Jesus is the Redeemer. Jesus is our lover. He's our friend. Jesus is our good shepherd. Every good gift comes from him. So yesterday I got a text message. Camden's gone. And I can only pray and believe that in those final moments, Jesus came and he made it right. He knew. We prayed a lot. I have faith. I can believe that that could have happened. But my friends, no one knows the time or the hour. It's not about when he's coming. He's coming. It's how are we going to prepare. Don't bury your talent, but make it count for the master. Now is the time where we can still change the outcome. Now is the time where we can repent and think rightly about him. You know, what is it, church hurt? What have you gone through that's caused you to maybe start to close yourself to God, to be guarded, to not want to totally just spend your life on him, to do his mission? I want to invite the band to come out. You know, the scripture says today, if you hear his heart, or today, if you hear him knocking on the door of your heart, don't harden your heart towards him. And I just want to encourage you to open yourself up to him fully. Not 50%, not 75%. Totally abandon yourself to the mission of the Master. Make your life about his purpose. He's going to pay you back in spades. He's going to reward you in spades.